What's up? You're listening to Casually Lit. I'm Jason.
I'm Rody.
I'm Chris.
And I'm David. Casually Lit is brought to you by us. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Download this and all our other shows at Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, and in the Google Play and Apple Store. You can find a list of all the beer we drink on every single show at clshow.us, where you can also drop us a line.
Or, David, they can also leave us a voicemail at 682-220-9824. Once again, that's 682-220-9824.
That's right.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Let us give praise to our Maker and glory to His bounty by learning about beer.
Oh, man.
There's a choreography to the beginning of the show. There really is.
The first time we put that whole thing together and our mouths weren't moving and the video camera was going and it was just funny. Yep. And David was doing the old used car salesman.
Well, hey, David, why don't you call our phone number?
That was terrible, but I like it. Well, everybody, we got a great show coming up. We've got two of our favorite people on planet Earth. Division Brewing is here with us, Wade and Sean.
David approves of that.
Guys, introduce yourselves so we can get to know which voice is which.
I'm Sean.
I'm Wade.
These guys do Division Brewing here in Arlington. They're gonna ride along with us for a little while, and then we're gonna get more in depth in what's going on there. First thing we want to do is play a certain intro that we created that we played for you on the pumpkin intro last week. We want to play that again and then talk about it for a minute and see what they think of it. It got pretty good. Some people texted me and were like, this was very interesting. So
hey David, can you believe I finally found this beer?
Yeah, man, pass that shit. Share the wealth. Come on.
Yeah, man, here you go.
What? Oh, come on, Butterfingers.
It's right next to you. Grab it before it goes.
Fuck. Ran down the storm drain. Well,
thanks for trying for that.
I mean, there's 5 more beers in the 6-pack.
Where you going? I got your beer down here.
Holy shit, did that just come from the storm drain?
I'm Boozo, the drunken clown. I love craft beer.
Oh, hey, us too.
But do you like podcasts?
No, we're kind of more into shows.
Oh, I love shows, especially Casually Lit.
Oh, so you're a fan of ours.
Oh, very much. You want to do a show down here? Wait a minute.
I don't know.
But we all get drunk down here. I have blood and honey down here with me.
Pass.
But do you like nutmeg? Cinnamon? Ugg boots and pumpkin.
Yeah, we hate pumpkin.
And we kind of have a show to go do.
But I love pumpkin. But before you go, don't forget your beer.
Oh, cool. Thanks, you caught that. I'll take that.
Take it.
Hey. Whoa. Are you all right?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Oh, hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Jason, how'd you get down there?
That was awesome.
Oh, God. So for those of you that have never seen the movie It, that's a parody from the movie It, the new one and the old one. They both have that scene from Stephen King's book.
Nice work.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, Rody and Jason wrote that just snot slinging drunk.
It was after, wasn't it? It was after the Saturday that we went to Division, actually, when we, yep, it was that day.
So who's doing the clown?
That was me.
That was Jason. Boozo the clown.
Boozo the drunk.
You can't come over anymore.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was fun. But that's what that was. It was just a little parody and it was fun. You got, it's all right.
Yeah, because well, that's not
we'll take partial credit for that.
Okay,
that's
yeah. Cool.
The drunken inspiration.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we were actually drinking Division while we were doing that.
Well, the bad part was we were going to start out with A Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, that, what's this? There's Can't Believe My Eyes. What's this? We were going to parody that, but the vocals wouldn't line up on my, so the vocals wouldn't line up with the music. No matter how hard I tried, I changed the delays, I changed everything. I couldn't get it to line up, so we, then Rody was like, let's do an It parody, and then we just started writing that. So that's how that was born.
I think he should use it more.
Yeah, Boozo the Clown may or may not be a returning guest.
Oh, God.
Like a featured mascot? Ooh.
Yes.
What Chris dress up as? I guess Boozo, like, the Clown?
I guess, yeah. Every month we can progress that story.
I like it. Here we go, writing it down.
Anyways, which one of you wants to tell us about the beer we're drinking?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. Hair of the Bog. It's a Goza with cranberries and clementines. A pretty simple beer in ingredients, but just an unusual fermentation. Just looking for that tart, refreshing, kind of like lemonade sort of thirst quencher, and trying to look for some of those fall ingredients that are available right now and invoke some of those flavors into this beer. So
that's lemonade. Yeah, that's a good description. That's, I didn't realize it until now, but yeah,
very nice. The cranberries, like, they, for me, cranberries, it's tart, but also like the sweetness that comes with cranberries, is it almost has like a savory thing with it that I think plays really well with the goes.
It's kind of a funny story. My father-in-law, he every year he makes this like relish, and it's really simple. He just takes cranberries, orange zest, and then I'll add like a little bit of sugar and just kind of blend it up, and that's what we have with our Thanksgiving meal, which really it's my favorite part of Thanksgiving meal, because everything's like super heavy, really rich, and then you have this to kind of give some zest and some, you know, bite, and just kind of like brighten everything up. The year, I think it was the year before last, so this was one of the beers that we had at our first anniversary party. That the Thanksgiving prior to that, my father-in-law screwed up the whole thing, and he put salt in the relish instead of sugar.
Oh no!
Yeah, and it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. Oof. And we joked about it, you know. And then I was like, well, maybe there's this idea here, you know, maybe turn this, you know, ruined Thanksgiving for me into a beer, you know.
Nice. Ruined Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I could be upset about that as well. Yeah, I like Thanksgiving because it brings everybody together and there's not monetary value involved in it.
Yeah.
And you just freaking eat, and like professional level eating. I love that.
And in the past few years, I've brought more like different beers to Thanksgiving. Now everybody looks forward to see what I'm going to bring.
Nice.
So
I did like too. The new artwork for it with that cranberry monster coming up underneath the ship.
Tammy and Wade.
Yeah, that artwork is on point. You don't ever really get it on the cans or anything like that, but every now and then if you see a release, if there's ever a poster or if there's ever an event, all the artwork is in-house at Division. It's Tammy and Wade, right? And it's you guys.
Thanks. It's mostly Tammy, but yeah, I appreciate it.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah, the Rhodey got one of the posters from you guys to frame.
Was it the one-year anniversary poster?
No, the farming.
The Fruit Fest.
Yeah, Fruit Fest.
Yes. That one's cool. And then Wade, you taunt me every time you wear your Pumpkin High shirt. I've never gotten to taste Pumpkin High, and you guys haven't made it. And that shirt is just magnificent. I'm just imagining. I keep building up the beer in my mind. So when you do get around to brewing it, it's already on a pedestal. Just to let you know. No pressure.
Where are you seeing that shirt? Because that shirt's like, you know, before we opened.
I think that's mainly where I saw it, is when I was still just doing the blog. I think you wore that. I was like, hey, you got any pumpkin? I was like, oh, we don't have that.
Someday. Weren't you guys just talking a lot of shit about pumpkin beers and that little intro? Yep.
No, absolutely. Most pumpkin beer is terrible.
Yeah, see, but I did the thing this year. I knew we were going to do the big pumpkin episode. So I was like, all right, no pumpkin spice lattes, no pumpkin pies, no pumpkin anything. I'm going to pumpkin out on this. And I was done with pumpkin by the end of the episode. An hour and 40 minutes is as long as pumpkin lasted this year for me.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. We had maybe
19.
Three or four that were like,
yeah,
we'll do this again. But no, there wasn't much salvageable.
I think it's a beer that's generated by the consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if a lot of brewers really are getting behind it.
Getting all pumped.
With a pumpkin beer.
Oh, what are you looking forward to this year? Pumpkin. I'm going to throw just multiple jack-o'-lanterns in here.
Although we did have, I had like this dream where we were going to do a black pumpkin mass.
Ooh.
And like just kind of throw pumpkins into the mash tun on fire.
Oh.
And film it on.
That would have been awesome. But
we didn't do it. Maybe next year.
That would be a good video.
Yeah.
I do admire your dreams. I wish I'd dreamt some of the trippy shit.
It's the drugs.
Damn. Oh, I would share the hell out of that. That sounds like a good video.
Brody, Cisco.
So Cisco went out to Cisco, and guess what? They have a fucking brewery out there.
In the middle of nowhere.
I used to go to camp out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all gotten a chance to see. It's a Red Gap Brewing. It's in downtown Cisco. That's maybe like 2 or 3 blocks away from the original Hilton Hotel. And they've done a nice job on it. They have like a mural on the side of the wall. The front entrance is nice. But what's really cool about it is that when you walk in, they have stairs. And they actually have an upstairs where you can lounge around and just chill and watch a couple of TVs. And they're only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they always have food trucks out there. So they have a rotating food truck. So it was a pretty cool little spot.
In Cisco?
So Cisco has food trucks.
Yeah, I was like,
well, Arlington can't manage it.
Yeah. Abilene has food trucks. Cisco just
borrows
them. Yeah, borrows them.
Bribes, I think.
It's like, I was like, how far is Cisco from Abilene?
About 30 miles.
Okay. I was just thinking about a food truck driving 2 hours to go to a brewery and serve food.
No, that'd be awesome.
No, it'd be terrible for them. But
you guys ever see that Food Truck Wars TV show? Where it's like a cooking show competition for food trucks.
No.
And what's the guy? Tyler
Perry?
No, not Tyler Perry. Medea does not host the Food Truck Wars.
Oh, you haven't seen that? That's coming out next year.
The Food Truck. And they were given a spot to where they had to all go and how to make so much money. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And they go to like certain cities and they have to do like the trademark thing. Like they went to Philadelphia and did cheesesteaks, but like you have people that are exclusively Indian food and they have to do a cheesesteak, and there's one guy that's like waffles. It was interesting. It was very interesting. But
sure, that wasn't the Jon Favreau movie you're talking about?
Yes, that's that was... It's not
Chef.
Chef, yeah.
That was a weird movie. I didn't hate it, but
that's a good movie. Yeah, I liked the movie.
It was pretty cool. Him and his son. Wasn't it son or daughter? Ooh. I don't remember.
I thought he had two kids.
Then that's what it was. Yeah, and he's traveling around with them, and then he's like, we need money, and they would just pull over and sell a bunch of food and make money. It was pretty cool. Plus he was a dick to the food critic.
Oh, speaking of dicks. So we were talking about Red Gap Brewing for a second. They have Facebook reviews up there. And there was a couple of people that gave them 1 stars. So I went down there and looked at one of the 1 stars. And this lady literally said that she went in there and she doesn't drink beer. She doesn't like the smell.
Yep.
And they did a really nice job on the inside. 1 star.
Yep.
Fuck you, bitch.
That's what a lot of people are saying. It's like, can we shame her? Does anybody know this lady? Can we shame her?
Like, if you're going to do that, don't leave a star. Like, leave your review. Be like, this is a nice place, but don't have it impact an aggregate score.
It's ridiculous. It's like, ridiculous.
Hey, you spent money and you're helping revitalize downtown Cisco. You suck.
1 star.
One star. Yeah, that's one of the things that we've gotten into lately, reading people's 1 star and early reviews where they're like, oh, I don't like IPAs. This IPA sucks. 1 star. You're like, wait, what? You don't like IPAs? Why are you drinking it?
And then I hate multi beers. This Imperial Stout's too thick.
Exactly.
It's too much alcohol. I like my 11% beers to be drinkable.
I'm already drunk as I write this review.
Speaking of, what's next there, Rody? I'm thirsty.
We got empty glasses.
Jerk.
Sorry.
He's the official. Well, yeah, he's the beer server, so he's certified.
That's
he should
true.
Be doing this.
Yeah, you are legally the only person allowed to serve beer on this show. You're
bona fide.
I felt bad for like 30 seconds, and now I don't feel bad anymore, ever.
No, go get the beer. Certified beer bitch. That's what it is.
Whenever we go,
I'm saying that while he's away from the table, so you can't push any buttons.
Whenever we go eat with these guys, with him, he's going to go get our beers from now on, because I can't.
I'm going to start asking for tips now.
Yeah. We'll start a Patreon page just for Rody. Rody's trips to the fridge.
We were talking about he needs to get his certificate printed on a shirt and wear it everywhere he goes. Who's next? Who wants to tell us about this one? Oh.
Do y'all know that beer smells different out of every glass? Every glass style?
Yes.
Yes.
Because it changed the shape of the glass points the smell.
Freaking amazing. I mean, we have four or five different glass styles in our brewery. Take the same beer on the same day, pour it in a different glass. Always different nose. Subtle differences, but it's there.
It smells great.
Yeah, it smells awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always good. I mean, we're beginning to get into the holiday season, so always a good holiday gift idea for craft beer fans is a glass set.
With multiple different kinds of glasses.
Because, I mean, you don't always get like the same shape, or you don't always get tulips. Like, you know, get a Belgian Stein, get a goblet, get, you know, one of those really weird stout flavored, you know.
A granulated cylinder? Is that what you're looking for?
That's graduated cylinder?
Yeah, granulated. That's for sand beers.
Hey, that's a new
sand beers trademark.
So thick, sandy.
That's how they make it cloudy. Just drop some sand in there. Look how pretty it is. It's so cloudy.
You know what? I'm hearing a lot of judging.
Hey, ease up on those controllers and keyboards bits, because we got to pay them $10,000 a pop, apparently.
Yeah, we need to discuss that too.
That's true.
We played one of their sound bits, and they were like, "We're going to file a lawsuit. You owe us $10,000." Like, whoa. They're just kidding, but be careful, Rody, because they're coming after you. We're going to label that on you. Who wants to tell us about this one?
Hey, I can tell you about this one as well. Immoral Laurel Pale Ale. Yes. It's a little bit beefier than your average pale ale, but not too high. I mean, this is a little bit higher on the ABV, but still sessionable. I mean,
yeah,
relatively speaking, and lighter on the IBUs. But do a rotating pale ale. Try to keep it rotating. I have a few favorites that, you know, have popped up, and a few favorites of other people that we've re-brewed, but. Really just try to focus on showcasing different hops. And this is a new variety called Laurel that we got in. And it's a really interesting hop in that has a lot of old world characteristics, those spicy, grassy, noble hop characters that kind of comes in at the end. But then it has like a lot of new world characteristics too, kind of, you know, tropical fruit, stone fruit kind of stuff. So it's an exciting beer, and it's a real, with these beers, I just try to, with a lot of the pale ales, just try to keep the malt bill side of it or, you know, pretty light, dry them out pretty, you know, pretty well. And then just to try and showcase the hops, use a hop pack on this and a couple of different doses of dry hops and just try to throw a bunch of hops into this beer, but then, you know, try to not make it a bitter bomb, you know, like focus on flavor and aroma without bitterness, you know, just showcasing the softer side of hops, I guess, you know.
Nice.
It's beautiful beer.
No, I like this a lot. I mean, obviously, you guys brew it, so you hit it on the nose with the old world stuff, but the tropical fruit that comes out of this is just amazing. It's all in the flavor. Like, you get a nice amount of it in the aroma. But like all the light hopping that puts that flavor in there, it's like it's just a massive fruit, excellent, and it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You left them without being able to say words.
So it you said you're showcasing Laurel. Is it just all a single hopped beer, or did you put some supporting characters in it?
It's Laurel and Mosaic. Mosaic is, I think it's a decent blender. You know, yes. I like a little bit more Laurel than Mosaic, but you know, Mosaic obviously has like a lot of features to it, so oftentimes it blends well with other hops. So yeah, Laurel and Mosaic on that one.
Nice. So you said you used a hop back with this?
Yeah.
Would you kind of go into real quickly what exactly a hop back is?
Yeah, it's just a little vessel with a false bottom on it that after you boil wort or unfermented beer, we transfer it into this hop back. And the thing that's neat about that is as it transfers it'll cool down a little bit, and so you're not extracting so much bitterness from the hops. You're getting more flavor, more aroma, and then it'll just go through that tank that you know, sometimes get stuff full with hops. Sometimes it takes just a little bit, but, you know, we'll just, sometimes we use whole leaf hops in that. Sometimes we use pellet, you know, we utilize just about every type of hop at the brewery that, that we can get our hands on. And then it'll just go run through that tank and kind of, you know, take up a lot of that flavor and aroma and then go through a heat exchanger into the fermenter. So it's kind of just trying to, it'll cool down a little bit so you can take the a little bit of the heat off the beer so you're not really abstracting too much bitterness from the hops.
Nice.
And just since we've been using it for 6 months, 7 months now,
yeah.
I've noticed, I mean, it seems to pull the oil through a bit better. It may have been left in the kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And just a thicker, juicier hop experience. Oh.
Which is my favorite, love hops. Brody and I, and David.
To a lesser extent.
To a what? Nah, I'll take that.
He likes that. Belgians. He's weird.
No, this is, yeah, this
I
is.
Like, every beer has its place in my glass.
Phenomenal, as is everything they do, but.
So you guys, you do something a little bit different than most breweries. Most breweries will put out their flagship four beers, and then they'll every now and then do a seasonal. You guys are creating new recipes, putting out new beers all the time. Can you give us some kind of background on what gives you the ideas to come out with these new recipes and how that kind of works for you guys?
I think the main reason, even when we were starting out, we had the flagships. I mean, I was looking at a picture a couple of years, it was 3 years, and there's these beers, you know, that we still produce on this wall. And but since then, I think at the size we were, as far as I was concerned, we were in a process where I, you know, as a homebrew, I was able to experiment, and do what I wanted to do. And, you know, as we started the brewery, we did a little of the, what we'd kind of I'd built up to or and what Sean had built up to. But then it was, you know, why do we want to just stop this process of creating? And so, and really, it's kind of, I play guitar. I mean, as a musician, and I never felt that I was going to be the, oh, I'm there. You know, it's always a practice. It's always improving. And so I've kind of taken brewing the same way. You know, why do I want to just stop on these certain beers and rest on my laurels? You know, I want to create something new. I want to excite people. And, you know, when we opened the brewery, we wanted to have a lot of beer. So it all kind of comes together. Yeah, we may decide, hey, we want to have 100 beers. But I think the focus is, we're practicing, we're improving what we do. You know, it's interesting. You know, I would go crazy if I had to brew the same fucking five beers every fucking month. You right. know, I would go crazy. I like, and it's a small brewery too. You have the flexibility to grab new hops, grab new techniques, and incorporate it into it and with a new beer and, you know, show someone something new, and because you're experimenting, I don't know what it's going to be like. I mean, so that's what we're doing right now. So, you know, maybe down the road, if we, you know, if we grow and get larger, you know, we'll probably have those beers that keep surfacing, and people might say, "Hey, that's their beer. That's, you know, that's their big, you know, that's their, what do you call it?
That's their
flagship." You know, but you know, Agtown's a great beer, but I might brew a better beer next week.
Yeah,
so very, very true.
I like to live in that place.
That's awesome. That's like you said, it's one of the advantages of being kind of on the smaller size. Like, yeah, you'll go through the effort to brew a single batch of beer, but I mean, you get new hops in. They're releasing new varieties really frequently now. I just was online like this earlier this week. I'm putting a recipe together with one of our friends. And I hadn't heard about three or four of them. I was like, man, this is bad. I need to stay up on this. They're just coming out with new stuff. They play well. Real, you know, a lot of the ones coming out now have a lot more of the tropical flavors. And of course, the Northeast IPAs are a real big trend right now. So packing all that juicy flavor into a hazy beer and putting that out is kind of what everyone's MO is.
What?
Ingredients and techniques. Techniques are, I mean, there's so many different ways to skin a cat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, you know, we just read and listen and try to learn and, you know, have fun with it.
Nice.
It's it makes it very it makes it easier to go there all the time because you're going to have new stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we've said about these guys a million times, but they have most of the time 10 plus on tap. I don't think you've ever, after an anniversary party, you had less than 10 for a little bit because that was crazy, but I don't think you've ever had under 10. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's unusual for that to be the case. Yeah.
That was so much fun.
So literally anything anyone wants, any of the flavors that they typically like to drink, you'll have something represented up there. Even if you're not a beer fan, there are things up there on the board that you'd be like, all right, well, do you like chocolate? Okay, you need to try this porter or this stout. Or do you like bright citrus? Okay, check out this really cool pale ale. That's one of the things I love about how many offerings you guys have. Some people might see that and be like, oh, it's overwhelming, it's too many. It's like, no, literally name a flavor you enjoy. It's up there. You'll find it. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's fun listening to customers.
We didn't have the Billy Witch the other night. We had someone walk in, older couple. She wanted a Billy Witch. She looks at the board. They didn't have it. We sold out. Out the door.
Oh, come on.
Dude, that's oh my gosh! I'm trying to pull an analogy for how dumb that is. I mean, it's great to know what you like, but I mean, you came out support.
Well, try something. The husband was trying to pull her back in, and she was riding. I mean, she was driving the bus, so they don't have Billy Witch. We're out.
Jesus, that's crazy.
Yeah, there are beers that whenever we do not have, I do feel bad. Rosalie, for example. Yeah, well, I hear that one a lot. You know,
it's I'm going to kill myself, and it's your fault.
Yeah, Rosalie is probably one of your so more. Beautiful. Yeah,
sorry, everyone.
It's like if you had a couple of staples, that would definitely be one of them. I'd be like, oh yeah, Rosalie. We always drink that. We're like, this could be everywhere. This could be in places where people don't like beer. This could be in a wine bar and people would be like, oh, this is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
So what's one beer that you guys have been drinking recently that you don't make that you really like from somewhere in DFW? Got anything that just comes to mind? ain't nobody got time for that?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I drink... I drink a lot of Pilsners, to be honest. Nice. You know, I mean, I don't drink mass-produced Pilsners. I drink craft Pilsners. I will say I'm a little bit all over the place, but I drink a lot of Pilsners right now.
Case in point, this is why David doesn't pour beer.
Oh.
Not certified.
I can't
not
even.
Not bona fide.
I can't even open a can. You're so uncertified. Oh, God damn it. We apologize for his.
Why is it coming out of like two different holes?
That sounds like a personal question, really.
What'd you do?
The pop tab didn't pop all the tab all the way.
Pilsners. I'm trying to think. Oh, the six point.
I like the pain pills.
Yeah, 6 point. Six point just came out with a new Pilsner that I want to try that's all hopped up. What was it? I can't remember what it was called. It's brand new, the hopped up 6 point Pilsner.
Have you had that one?
Drawing a blank.
Pain pills?
Yeah.
Pain
Pills is Texas Ale Project?
Texas Ale Project.
Nice.
Really?
I've had it a couple times on tap. My wife loves it. And pretty good.
Pain Pills. Well, I'm sure we've had it. I don't remember.
They're coming out with a Blood Orange IPA, I think, here pretty soon.
Texas
Ale Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it's been a little while since Texas Ale Project started cranking out some new stuff.
It's been a while. Million Angels Singing was like the last one they brought out, and Harper was still working there.
And me and Rody went there and got tiny pint glasses with a little sample. And then Michael's like, hey, well, I'm not going to. Why did you pay for
but
that?
David, I'll be honest with you as far as my beer drinking goes. You know, I'm at the brewery a lot, but when I'm at home, I don't drink beer.
Yeah.
I kind of take a break from it. In fact, I try to take 2 or 3 days where I don't drink any beer.
Makes sense.
That's smart.
Because when I'm at the brewery,
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you got 20 taps just staring you right in the eyes, just looking into your damn soul.
And you're like, oh, I really like that. I made it.
Yeah.
So I did want to ask you. So we were talking a little bit about single hop, showcasing like single hops. And Martin House does that quite a bit. They have a rotating IPA that's a single hop beer. And it's easily available. But now... I don't know if y'all have had Rough Tail. They've come into the Texas market, and they have an adaptation ale, and they do the same exact thing. But People are going apeshit over it. That adaptation ale.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. They're like, where can you find this? I need it. It's like, what do you mean? Martin House just did the same thing. And it's cheaper.
And fresher.
Yeah, Martin House, you can get that for $6.99 most of the six pack of that.
What's the name of Martin House beer?
The Cellarman.
The Cellarman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you go to Total Wine, bleep, $6.99.
Like, it's just crazy. Like, oh, it's new and it's not from Texas. I got to try it.
Yeah, I was at Central Market one day. Got a six-pack of Cellarman that had been canned on that day. You know, they have it on. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Damn.
It's one of the good parts because they only do one batch with the hops or maybe two batches. I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, it's not mass-produced, so it goes out and then it's gone.
Right.
It's not, like you were saying, yeah, it's easy to get fresher because it's not like, oh, we're reproducing the same one over and over and over. Then you can look at the hop variation and know exactly when it was made, too. It's like, yeah, because so Wade is responsible for mine and Rhodey's date obsession, sort of.
You guys date each other?
When we did that show with the at Division, that was over a year ago.
Uh-oh.
And Rhodey had saved a bunch of beer to share with Wade and Sean. It's like, I'm saving this. And then Wade took a sip.
That was
like,
the night of the hop, the malt bombs.
Yep.
Woo.
So from that day forward, I mean, we already looked at dates, but from that day forward, it's like, if it's older than like 2 weeks, we're like, no, we're not buying it. Wade would not approve. It was pretty funny, though, because Rhodey had been sitting on those beers for like a month to share them. And then Wade was like, yuck. Take that, Rhodey.
We have a WWWD bracelets now.
What would Wade do?
There you go.
And we preach it on the podcast. We always preach it. Be careful. Last week, not the Halloween episode, but previously we said, hey, watch for the dates because this
rock
stuff's
candy.
Bad.
Candy.
Yeah. Or when you get it in its, or an IPA, when I was like, if it's super sweet, pour it down the drain because it ain't right.
If my wife will drink it, it's bad.
Yeah, I've had to kind of back up on some of that stuff.
Some of the IPAs are sweeter.
Hey, it's just like what we were talking about earlier, consumer demand. I mean, people want – there's a group of people who want sweeter beer. And as a brewer, you kind of got to recognize that and try to accommodate.
Sweet.
You know, I think really a lot of the New England IPAs are kind of on the sweet side.
Yes, I would say so. So when are you coming out with your root beer, your alcoholic root beer?
Not doing that.
Oh my gosh.
Sarsaparilla.
I still have the original six pack when that was distributed. There's five in there because the first one it was a drain pour. And it's sitting in the shop that with it's like a, I don't know, the shop's not really used anymore because all the beer drinking's at the brewery.
The brewery.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a, what do you call that? Time capsule. So Kafka-esque. Mm-hmm. Remember that beer?
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember that.
I've got cans of that.
Really?
Holy crap.
So, if you want to revisit that one.
We went to the Poorhouse in Fort Worth to go get that one that was released, and they had the slanted glasses.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yep. Oh, I'll never forget.
That Poorhouse isn't even there anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that night, Cody. Never.
He loves having beer bought for him, evidently.
Oh, God. I was so mad. So, Cody was back in the back. And he was, you know, waiting in line. And I was like, Cody, you made this beer. Let me get you one. Let me buy you one. He goes, I'm good. Not even a no thanks. It was like, I'm good. And I was like, come on, man. I'll get it. And he was like, did that. I was like, oh, fuck.
Maybe he was just being responsible.
I hope so. But it was funny. It was funny then. I was just like, oh, my God.
Well, Wade was talking about his shop. That's actually where I met Tyree Radio for the first time. Yeah. Amanda and I,
yeah, me too,
just serendipitously happened to go to the same tasting event before Division opened almost two years ago, and we sat around. We were drinking this amazing beer made here in Arlington.
If I recall, we were drinking not our amazing beer, but we were drinking Russian River Pliny.
Yeah, Pliny. You'd just come back from California with a fresh case of Pliny.
Yeah, me and Rhodey.
That was the worst. Come on in. That was the worst day ever. I remember y'all got invited, and then I went out of town.
Yeah, you were invited, but you just went out of town.
Apparently, you had better things to do. Rude.
Yeah, work. Perfect.
Yeah, we went up because me and Rhodey had gone to a tasting with them previous before we met David and Amanda, and then then they invited us to the Pliny thing. We're like, whoa, we're special. Felt so big.
That was a big moment. I mean, that here we are 2 years later still talking about beer. You guys have a brewery. I'm about to do something with beer. And we're still talking about it. And I mean, that was a big moment.
It was a big moment, man. Yeah.
We all was like, we recognized our love of beer in each other's eyes. It's like, it's not just a love of getting drunk. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's fun. But we all appreciated good, well-balanced, that well-executed, delicious-tasting beer made by hardworking people. And that was like one of the things, like, I want to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking of all of those adjectives David just said, what's this beer we're drinking now?
There you go.
This is Little Pops, which is an IPA, you know, kind of another one of those experimental IPAs. I mean,
it's juicy on the nose.
Yeah, you know, it's meant to be a little bit hazy. This actually is using a yeast that's not known to be a yeast that's usually flocculates pretty well, and this one didn't. So I'm attributing it to some of the other adjuncts I've used in it. But you know, like I was saying, you know, a lot of ways to skin a cat. This is my practice at doing. I don't think this had any bittering hops at all.
Really?
So the first
wow.
The first introduction of hops would have been like the last 5 minutes, and then it had a massive hop back. I mean, I think I used 2 pounds of Mosaic and 10 pounds of J-Lime, which is an experimental hop that came out like a year ago.
Damn.
So super hopped at the end, you know, just at the end to pull it in, and then I think this was dry hopped with Citra.
Nice.
And so... yeah, ungodly amount of hops spent in this beer. And that's why they're expensive, people.
Yeah. I was about to say, with no bittering hops, usually in a beer recipe, at the very beginning of your boil, when you're brewing beer, you throw in a charge of hops to get your base bittering. This is about how many IBUs we're going to end up with, so we need something up here at the front that'll boil the whole time. Not doing anything till the last 5 minutes is like, all right, I'm going to make some spaghetti sauce, but I'm not going to put any tomatoes in until like the last 5 minutes.
it's funny. It's awesome. And you'll see, I've stopped listing the IBUs on a couple of beers because I don't think the software we're using, which is Beersmith, is calculating them correctly. And if you actually go out and go to Beer Advocate and look at the top 10 IPAs.
Right.
Half of those in their New England style, mm-hmm. they don't have the IBUs listed. Because I think they're having the same problem. How do you calculate? Because there's just such a massive amount at the end mm-hmm. of the brew. There's stuff going in there, but you just don't know what. And how is it attributing to bitterness and what's attributing to aroma or oils?
And a lot of the techniques at the end of the brew, too, like whirlpool and hop backs and things like that, it's hard to judge. There's something called hop utilization. So... yeah. You have a general idea for the amount of IBUs or international bittering units that will balance out the sweetness in the beer. You have a general idea how much of that comes in certain varieties, but it all comes down to what's actually in your beer, how much sugar there is, what the gravity is, if you have some adjuncts, if you have anything that's other than hops and grain. Like sometimes, you know, fresh zest or fresh ingredients will either counteract or amplify that. So... yeah, it's hard to pinpoint that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting to kind of think of because you see these things, you plug it into Beersmith, you make a beer, it's like, wow, that was way sweeter than I thought, you know, 40 IBUs would give me. Or 60 exactly. or 80
yeah.
or 200.
I'd be afraid, too, that the unknowing, God damn it, I had it in my head, wouldn't know exactly what an IBU is and be freaked out. Like, oh, that sounds like it's really bitter, and then they wouldn't buy it. I'd be afraid of that, too.
It was like hop fog. Hop fog, I used, it was Eureka and Idaho 7, and I think they were both like 16, 17% AA, alpha acids. I mean, huge, just normally would be your bittering hops. And I just had like, I think I used 12 pounds, you know, in the final hop back of a mixture of those two. So it should have, the IBUs, if you used Beersmith, was like, 240.
Good
you
God.
Know, you know, there's no, you know, and it was hoppy, but it wasn't that bitter.
See, if I saw I don't think anything so. Over like 100, I'd be like, I want that now.
Yeah. Do that to my mouth.
Give me that. So I hear that y'all have invited Guy Fieri to be a permanent fixture at the brewery now.
Come on.
Something called a fooder.
God. Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
Your cut, was, road is cut off.
That's like
off.
The whitest thing you've ever said. Say, Evel Knievel wouldn't have made that jump, man.
The foodie fooder.
The foodie fooder.
So I looked it up. I was trying to like go and do some actual research on this thing, and I was like, fooder. It's like F-O-O-D-R. Okay, that's not right.
No.
It's like F-U-D-E-R. And like I could hardly get anything to pop up. And I found out that it's not necessarily the name of the vessel. It's a unit of measurement. So it's like it's like a range of... like the amount of gallons. It's like 216 gallons to like 330 gallons. And like that's what a fooder is. Like 80 to 120 gallons is like a hogshead.
Wow.
Like the size of the oak vessel.
Yeah.
Is that a... Here you go.
Yeah. I was like, oh,
it's a
cool. Band. Like that's a fooder. Like that makes sense. And I was like, oh, it's a unit. It's a German unit of measurement. It's like, it like... literally translates into cartload.
Oh.
Which would make sense if you see what a fooder is, because it's massive.
It's a big old thing.
It's 500 gallons of goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was in Division Friday, I think, and I saw you already got something in there. There's already something bubbling.
Yeah, and that's the greatness about a fooder. I mean, and also the kind of the logistical nightmare of a fooder is they got to stay filled. You know, I mean, they're oak vessels, oak fermenters, and, you know, they'll dry out. They'll, mm-hmm. you know, so you got to keep them filled, or at least that's the plan. You know, they got to stay filled with something, or else you'll start to see little gaps between the staves. Cause I mean, it's a fermenter that's made with just oak and stainless steel rings around it to hold together, you know. I mean, that's it. There's no glue. There's no, you know, I mean, that's it.
It's like a barrel held hostage. Like, this is your beer barrel. Feed it.
500 gallon barrel.
Nice. And, I mean, I treat the barrels the same way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's empty a barrel, you fill the barrel the same day, you know, that whole treatment. But, you know, it's a little bit of a bigger deal whenever you're dealing with something that's, you know, 8-9 times the size of a barrel for us, you know. But yeah, I'm super, super excited. It's beautifully made. I mean, this is handcrafted. Fooder Crafters of America. Maybe they'll sponsor the show next week.
Ooh, definitely. They're in Missouri. Awesome dudes.
Yeah, and so they've really kind of changed sort of or influenced fooder beer in America, I'd say that. Because before Fooder Crafters of America, you know, opened up a couple of years ago, everything was having to be imported from France, and that's a big deal, you know. And most of them were having to be deconstructed completely and then assembled on site, and that's another big deal.
Yep.
So to have these guys who, you know,
they make it right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And how awesome is this? We were upsizing our brewery, and we ordered a seven barrel. Fooder, yes. And he emailed us and he said, hey, you know, be honest, you know, even though the 15 barrel fooder's $2,000, or I don't know how much more it was, he goes, it cost me about the same to build a 15 barrel. Oh. You want a 15 barrel?
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So for a 7 barrel, we got a 15 barrel.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
That's a deal.
Yeah, yeah. It was a deal.
Already like this guy.
Yeah, man, I might need that phone number.
Yeah, there's nothing better than those old school guys that do business like that.
It's yeah.
Yes, no company in the way, none of that bull crap.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And the thing is beautiful. I encourage people to come by the brewery and look at it.
I was going to say, the thing needs its own set of glamour shots. Like, seriously, I would just scroll through that just longingly during a meeting. I would do that.
Yeah, and if the beer, you know, I hope the beer, I'm pretty confident, but I hope that the beer tastes as good as the fooder looks. And
what type of beer do you make in a fooder? Is it like a special type? Is it sours? Is it IPAs?
You can do whatever you want to. You know, you can do, if you want to do like a big oak aged stout or anything like that. I mean, these things are custom built for you. So if you want them charred, they can do that. If you want them semi-neutral. They can work, you know, I mean, they work with you as to what you want. For me, right now, that the fooder is going to be focusing on a lot of the Saison beers, a lot of the Rosalie, like we said before, Fairly Well, Prodigal Saison, a lot of those things. Well, you know, it'll be used for, you know, the struggle with the fooder, and the beautiful thing about the fooder, I mean, it's frustrating and it's beautiful at the same time, is that it's not a stainless steel vessel. You can't just throw, you know, some acid in it and sterilize it. You know, I mean, the beautiful thing about it is that the yeast and the bacteria, however you choose to ferment your beer, they actually inhabit the fooder, and the fooder develops its own character and lends itself to the beer. And so that's a beautiful thing about it, you know. And so
at least in our opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And so right now I'm just going to focus on, you know, sort of the farmhouse style beers. They're also really popular, so I would love to be able to make more of those styles of beer. And really just see what kind of character the fooder adds to it. Couldn't be more excited about it.
Same yeah. here, man. Yeah. When I heard you guys were putting in a fooder, I think schoolgirl just giggles like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is a dream come true for me. And as weird as it sounds, my favorite day at the brewery are whenever I'm working with wood. Whenever I'm emptying barrels, filling barrels. The days that I leave and I'm like, man, I just did everything that I love to do, you know?
That's awesome.
And it's really frustrating sometimes, you know, because these barrels leak. It's just a part of it, and they're not, you know, perfect, but it's sort of like the little passion project, you know, and to be able to basically almost double the oak cooperage or the amount of oak fermenting space that we had with that one vessel, Yeah.
Makes life easier.
Yeah, it's a dream come true, you know? And to be able to provide that beer to more people, I mean, that's my passion, and so being able to share it with people is really fulfilling.
I'm extremely excited. I cannot wait to see what comes out of that thing. I'm pumped.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe next anniversary party, you know,
ooh,
might be able to...
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
There's a little tease there, huh? Isn't that what they call it in the...
In the biz?
In the biz, a tease.
A sneak peek,
what a
tease.
What a savory word. Describes exactly what it is, you know what I mean?
That's a button you don't get to press very often.
It's not, and I love it.
Speaking of an anniversary party coming up, you guys are turning 2 soon.
Oh, yeah.
New Year's Eve, is that it?
Yes.
Two years.
And I think we heard something about 100 beers. Is that...
Yes, we were attempting to get to 100 beers on Untappd because we were rolling with the new beers. So we're going to get it, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
So you may hit, you know, 97, 98, 99, and 100 that night, you know.
Yes.
But it'll be there.
That'd be pretty cool to release your 100th beer and call it... No, you don't want to call it 100. That's stupid, but it's kind of cool at the same time. Just 100. What
old,
is this?
Old 100.
It's just 100. What is it? Doesn't matter. It's 100.
What day does New Year's fall on this year?
Sunday.
Sunday.
I think it's
Sunday
the 1st of January.
Looks like I'm asking off for the Monday.
Take it. Monday's New Year's Day. You should be off.
Yeah, you should be off.
Hell
yeah.
And no one gets lasered on a Monday.
Lasers don't stop on holidays.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Sorry, Commissioner Gordon. Jeez.
So what is the smorgasbord?
What are we drinking, Rudy?
So this is I made a trip up to Oklahoma. This is a newer brewery up in Oklahoma City called Stone Cloud. It's one of the better ones that I've run across up in Oklahoma City. It's made with a Swedish yeast.
Swedish.
It's juniper berries, and I forget what the other thing was. It's an IPA. I was hoping that Untappd would tell me more information, but there's nothing. So that's all I remember about it. But it was pretty good, and I enjoyed it. So I thought I'd bring it back for y'all.
This is really good. I don't want
very fruity.
Yes,
I'm getting a lot of pineapple, maybe like some guava, some very tropical-y.
It's not hazy enough.
So what is it, just an IPA, or is it one of those
unfiltered,
newfangled IPAs?
I forget what they called it. It was like a ferric or
Kvike.
Oh, yeah, because you said it's a Swedish, right?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Does Untappd have the correct style?
No, fuck no.
Can't make a Kvike. I think that's pretty low in ABV, right?
6.5, yeah.
I mean,
well,
no, that style he just mentioned.
It's more like a table beer,
so it's lower than, ooh.
Yeah, it's just calling this an American IPA. I mean, it's sweeter than I would say 60 IBUs should taste. But
yes, I agree with that. Definitely.
Yeah, it's listing it at 6.5 ABV, 60 IBUs, American IPA.
There's no way it's 60.
It's super duper tropical, but it's not unpleasant. Like, it's sweet, but it's not a sweet IPA that's like a malt bomb. It's really pleasant fruit flavor.
The last weekend they had their Halloween party and they did two specialty beers. They have their Turtle Head, which I have in there to try later, but they crossed it with Butterfinger.
Turtle Head,
but that sold out like the first night.
This is good beer. I mean, I've had a lot of beer. This is really good.
And they do good work. Most of the stuff I've had is, it's all nice and clean. There's no bad aftertaste. I mean, most of the stuff's pretty solid that comes out of the brewery that I've had. And then they also had their Astro Dog is their regular IPA that they have, but they introduced hot tamales into it as well. Whew. So I tried that. It's different. You, as it warms up, you get more of the hot tamale character. You get the cinnamon and you get that little bit of sweetness at the end. It's not terrible. It's not a beer that I would buy one of these of, but it's it's interesting. It's kind of cool. They tried it and, you know, I had it and I can put it on tab, but you know, I chose this instead of that.
And it was brewed that way, not with a Randall, right?
Correct.
Randalls are gone. I don't even see them anymore.
I heard that come up in a conversation recently. I was listening to some other podcasts, and they talked about Randall, and they were like, man, that was so 2010.
Yep.
So a Randall is a device that Dogfish Head came up with. They called it Randall the Enamel Animal.
Yep.
And it's basically
named after an employee.
That's right. It's basically, it's like running your beer through a, you know, a fresh ingredient.
Whatever the hell you wanted to put in it, yeah.
Right.
We still utilize one.
Nice.
I like Randall's. I've never actually poured any of my beer through one. I've been to a couple tastings with Randall's. I think they're interesting. I mean, if you have a beer that you're drinking all the time, it's fun to shake it up with, you know, help. I think I had Rabbit Hole's Rapture. They called it Patio Rapture. It was Jameson whiskey-soaked coffee beans. Mm-hmm. They ran it through there. Woo! That was nice and delicious and tasty and toasty, and I took an Uber home.
Whoa, from the brewery Rabbit Hole?
No, it was at World of Beer.
I was about to say, that's
Randall's,
like...
Randall's are really weird because they can be fantastic. I mean, you can impart coffee flavors very well, but it can... You've got to balance... I mean, It's a slippery slope. Sometimes right. It's not good, but yeah.
That's, we had Daybreak with Cinnamon Toast Crunch through the Randall from Martinelle. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. So like, they were putting all kinds of different cereals in it.
Yeah,
it's tough. Logistically.
I tried to do that with one of our beers. I think I used peanut butter Captain Crunch. Yeah. And it just became a mash of just
it's almost like you need to put like a series of coffee filters through there just to make sure it doesn't plug up.
Yeah.
Did you use it with Agtown? peanut butter Agtown?
Agtown. God.
Brew it. Come on, Wade.
Peanut butter chocolate IPAs.
New trend.
He's going to start the new fad.
I know Reese's won our candy bracket, but that's taking it a step too far.
Oof. Oh man, the candy bracket. Yeah, that's also on YouTube. You can't get it on the audio.
That's correct. So we took 16 of our favorite Halloween candies. Now that it's Dia de los Muertos or whatever, it's November 1st. It's the next month already. That's the one. So we released the Halloween candy bracket. We took 16 of our favorite Halloween candies and we seeded them. How according to, I think, their sales, right? Their sales correct. Volume. So we had, I think one of the rounds was Twix versus candy corn, which, I mean, right. Candy corn, you could
definitely
you could
pit
vomit against candy corn and it would win.
So what was ranked number one?
Reese's.
That was the number one
number sales? One selling candy.
Spoiler alert, geez.
Well, that doesn't mean they
won. He didn't
won,
ask who
right?
the winner was. He asked who the ranked number one was.
That's true. Ranked number one was in volume.
Spoiler alert, Beth died.
Jesus Christ. You're never going to live that down, Rody. Anyways.
If you didn't laugh at that, you're lactose intolerant.
Oh, I really like my puns. That's my favorite button, but it's so weird to hear a tablet say that.
Really? Because I have another one that
I
really like.
No, I don't like you to do that one.
So coming up on 2 years, Sean, do you think you guys are... I mean, you're probably at the point now where you can really judge your business. Do you feel like it's bigger than you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. I mean, it's grown really well. And honestly, we're not the best business people, you know? And so, but having to grow into that, has been a challenge, but, it's grown better than expected. I'm really proud of it. I still get kind of nervous. I mean, it was 2 years. That's not very old, you know?
No,
I mean, I want to be like 10 years old looking back on it before I like say any, you know, anything definitively, you know, like we're still working really hard. And, but yeah, I mean, we're trying to make some steps to grow the brewery and, but then yet sort of keep the spirit of the brewery that we started with, you know? And so, spirit of creativity and, trying new things and having a wide variety of beers, on tap whenever you come in, but then also having more to distribute out and sort of the kind of the logistics of distributing more and more beer is you kind of need to do some of the same beers, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, it is possible to distribute a new beer every time, but it becomes more and more difficult, you know? So just, focusing on getting more beer out there, it means the world to me that people essentially, I mean, we have some accounts out there and, but essentially for the last 2 years, if people want to drink our beer, they've come to the brewery. And that, I mean, that means the world to me. That's, I'm so proud of that and so happy, but I want to give back to the people. And we got people who drive over from all over the, DFW, the Metroplex, and I want to be able to put beer in their favorite watering hole, you know, not necessarily all of them, but have a couple, you know, like if you're in Dallas, I want to be able to have beer nearby. I love it that you come to the brewery and there's still, if you want to come to the brewery, there's going to be things that you can only get there. Cause that's the way we operate, you know, but I want to be able to get at least a couple of beers closer to those people, you know, because they've done a lot, you know, they've supported us for 2 years and we're trying to, you know, give back to them and get beer out there a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. So you guys were talking about getting a new system soon, right? A 7-barrel system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's kind of what's the timeline for having that start to come in?
Well, we're looking at November. I mean, we're looking at this month, you know, so, hopefully by the end of the year, everything will be in and operational. And, but it, you know, these things take time. I mean, anytime you order new brewing equipment, it's oftentimes, you know, custom built for you. And so it, you know, it's a 4 to 6 month minimum lead time, you know? So we're still waiting on, we have some that's in shipment right now, you know, that should be coming in pretty soon. But in terms of the brew house itself, probably, hopefully by the end of this month, and getting it up and going.
And it's not as simple as just, oh, it's here now, we can use it, right? Yeah. There's other steps.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get it operational as soon as possible. You know, but
that's one of the things. Like it's always fun. You see some breweries, I think Real Ale recently bought a couple silos and a couple huge fermenters. And a buddy of mine, Ross Nierberg, was posting when they were getting it in and installing it and everything. And it's really cool to see them lifting it off the truck and getting it installed. It doesn't mean it's ready to use right away. There's a lot of plumbing and logistics, and you got to have it on a foundation.
It's not that much.
It's so much. Yeah. We work so hard to get it ready.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. Which, who were you talking about? There's unloading their stuff.
Real Ale.
Oh, yeah,
down
yeah.
in Blanco.
Yeah, because I was thinking of the new one that's in Dallas, the one that's got people from every different brewery that just opened up next to the
Turning
church.
Point.
Yeah, I was thinking of them. It's like, hey, we got our equipment delivered. It's like, you're still 3 months from opening. It's like, yep.
I don't know. There's a learning curve when you get your brewery.
Yeah.
You may be able to do 15-gallon batches, but when you go to 15, it changes.
Yep. It's like, holy shit, what did we just get into?
Well, you mean it's not a straight conversion?
Then what do you do with it? I mean, if you do, you know, if it's not exactly right, because what people are going to expect what you put out, right? So do you dump it, or do you call it a new name, or what do you do? I mean, it's a lot of beer.
That's volume.
It's an expensive job. Expensive business.
The place in front of Division, Wade, was recently rented out, purchased, whatever you want to say by you guys. And I want to talk about that a little bit. A little comic book store that's in there.
Yes, we rented a space.
Yes.
There was a really, really cool store when we opened the brewery that was already established in the space. And they were kind of a funky art store, apothecary. I don't know what they did. They read your palm. You know, they did some weird shit over there. And so they had a really cool, though, artist community, which we were able to participate with. You know, we were kind of able to, when we opened, obviously, they were close by. They came by, and we all introduced ourselves, and, you know, we had people come out and drink the beer, and vice versa. She made her place BYOB, and it was a really cool a scene.
Right.
And then unfortunately there were some issues, you know, that she couldn't continue to keep the store open. So the store became available and one of our dreams or my dreams was to open a record store. And also we had some friends that were wanting to do a comic book store. And so we just rented the store and tried to make that happen.
Hybrid.
And so, yes, it's like a hybrid store.
Perfect, too, yeah.
And so, you know, it's the name of the store is Growl. We have concerts there. We have records there. We have panel-by-panel comic books are there. Really cool people, Dale and Leela and Steve and Cody.
Yes.
Really into comics. If you like comics, I'm sure that y'all have something in common. I'm old, and you know, I have my memories of my, you know, Iron Fist comics and things of that nature, which they've been able to find. That's what's so cool about them, is they know so much about it. I mean, these are people are truly passionate. The same way we're passionate about beer. I mean, they can spend hours talking about, you know, the different versions of Spider-Man, and I love them for it because they're so passionate about it. And Dale and Steve are just awesome dudes. And so, yeah, it is kind of – and it's the same with the music. I mean, just like beer, I mean, I think music is my other passion. I became a fan really early and a collector. And, you know, I was one of those – back in the day, we had cassettes. And I just – I don't know. It was my religion, basically.
Right.
And so, you know, something really special. And so – you know, back then we had record stores, you know, and now with the digital age, you know, they're kind of a thing of a past, a thing of the past. But
you know how it's truly unfortunate that today's youth and from now on probably will never really truly experience a record store. It's tragic. It's sad. I mean,
there's no need. I mean, they can just say, hey, well, they're already conditioned. I can listen to this on my phone, you know, and whatever I can plug my phone into if it's a better stereo. And that's the other thing. I mean, I gotta be honest. I've got kids. I've got two high schoolers, so I'm old.
Right.
So I can tell you just by watching them and having them progress. When I was a kid, you could only listen we only had music through a stereo that the family shared.
Yes.
And it was a tube stereo. It was a Sears stereo. It was a massive console that I can remember just being mesmerized as a child, and putting the records on and looking at the records and the size of them. I mean, it was an experience, and you know, something that it kept that fire burning in me until now. I'm 50 years old, and so kids today though they didn't have that. Now it's just like it's all associated with a computer or now a phone. You know, and as far as the sound quality coming out of those, pretty much pretty shitty.
Yes,
and
it is.
And they don't really know what good music sounds like, or even live music, the power that it can present, because it is about low wattage and so. I don't know what we can do about that. I mean, Growl's trying to do something about it. We have live music. We have the music that we're selling at the store. If you come to one of our concerts, you're going to feel and hear the sound. I mean, it's going to shake the floor. You know, it's an experience.
That's one of the things. I don't mean to cut you off, but feeling the music, that's, you know, you don't have to. Like you said, the vinyl, there's a much more richer quality, sound quality. You have the case, you have the cover, you have the liner notes, you have all these things that come like as a part of it. Like, sure, you could, you know, give someone a PDF and they could read it and that's fine, but to hold it in your hands, to hold a piece of art that someone made for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that, you know, most people that are growing up now that have been, you know, anybody that listens to music is mesmerized with it, that it gets the goosebumps when it plays, like I do. You know, it stands the hair back on you when you have certain pieces of music. If you're that in tune to it, the whole digital thing is kind of shallow, you know, because it's so I can get it instantly, you know. I don't even have to pay for it. I can go to Apple Music and probably play the whole song or some other place. But once you're hooked, though, it's so satisfying to come back to being able to pick up a physical, you know, media and record or a cassette or anything like that, and look at the artwork and look at the lyrics and look at all that that's you're holding in your hands. It's like a book.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same thing. There's a tactical sensation that I think a human needs, and I think I see these kids coming back because, you know, the whole download thing is too quick and too easy. Yeah. It's not satisfying, and so. You know, that's we hope that more people hook up to that. It makes your life richer, people, you know. So totally. If you are just downloading, you know, I encourage you, go out to someplace. You don't have to be our place, but go out someplace and buy a record, buy a CD, right. And look at the artwork and hold it in your hand. Because, I mean, that really is tangible, and the artists benefit from it. And when the artists benefit from it, they have a reason to keep doing it.
Right. That, like, the end product is not just something that a corporation put out, or even if it's just a group of people, they worked hard to make the image that you see, to write the words that you hear, to listen to the music that you hear, and like you said, to get those goosebumps in the feel. It's reading a book, reading a comic, reading something, reading creativity, and bringing it into yourself.
Yeah, because it's the chain of things. I mean, there are the musicians that make it, and they make their money off digital recordings. But the artwork is usually an artist, another artist. I mean, there's a chain of things that are combined to make that product, and it benefits everybody. And I think it – I don't know. I need it, you know. I did a lot of the Napster. I did a lot of the early – I mean, yep. I'm not of that age when it all kind of exploded and became free. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. I mean, it's like all of a sudden I don't have to go to the record store. I don't have to pay this money. It's like I can download this for free. It's out there on the internet, you know. And but then after a time period, if you really love music, I mean, you realize that most of the MP3s kind of sound like shit when you compare it to a good recording of the same song.
Absolutely. Compressed.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where I ended up wanting to do the Growl thing, was to put music out there to share what I love and then also promote, you know, local bands and music. You know, the way that I experienced it, which was like Deep Ellum. When I was in high school, Deep Ellum was just happening, and it was the place to go. And so, like, you know, 1984, 85, 86, I mean, there was just a few places down there. You know, it was packed with these, you know, young kids, you know, wanting to see something new, and young bands willing to play for next to nothing.
Yep.
And that's kind of what we're trying to recreate now. It's, you know... It's not a high dollar. It's not a big wig scene. If you've got a bunch of albums out, or you know you're really popular, you're not going to come here. But you know, it's a garage scene. It's a DIY scene.
Nice,
definitely. Yeah, we've come out. We've seen a bunch of your shows so far. We've seen. I think we were there the night. You're wearing a Wolf Hat hat right now. We came out, saw Pauly Starr. We actually saw Sean's sister-in-law. Play one night.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was – I still have – I got her CD. It's still in my car radio right now. Like that's the thing. Like all these people, they do what they love. They come here, they get to do that. We get to drink, you know, what you guys love. It's awesome. It's much more than just going out and grabbing a beer. It's sharing an experience.
I think one more thing about music. I think the thing about music, the most honest, the most passionate music is made by young passionate people. And so having the newer bands, the young bands, they're just trying to make it. I don't think there's anything more exciting. So that's what we try to have.
Awesome.
It's true.
I know me and Jason have had those conversations where we look back on the music we used to listen to and like some of the stuff they make now, and we're like, that sounds pretty good. I'm just not angst-ridden anymore. Like, I can't connect with that anymore.
Yeah, to reproduce it.
Right.
Yes. Yes, there's something about a naive 17-year-old or 18-year-old that can, I mean, just has a feeling about something that maybe older you understand or you just accept. Mm-hmm. But there's an anger there that is captured in music and song that you can't reproduce. There's an honesty to it.
So funny right now, like I've hit that point in life because the last Spider-Man movie is what's done it to me the worst because he's in high school. I'm a huge Spider-Man. We know this.
Yeah.
And he's in high school, and I was just having such – I was watching the movie. The movie was fine. Everything was fine, but it was like I can't connect with this anymore. And, you know, people were like, oh, that chick's so hot. And I was like, she's in high school. Shut your mouth.
I was like, oh. Jordan?
I was like, oh, crap. What has happened to me right now? And I realized that, I just couldn't – it's gone. That I was like, oh, no, I'm over that age. I can't connect with you anymore. Anyways, Ruddy, tell us what this next beer is.
I'm going to try to not butcher this. This is El Cucuy.
Nice.
It's a Indian-style black ale from Marshall Brewing up in Oklahoma.
They're in Tulsa, correct?
Correct.
This is delicious.
I had Marshall a couple years ago, actually. My grandmother lives in Jinx, which is a suburb of Tulsa.
I don't know how well they sell because most of the stuff I see on the shelves are a little old. But this is a beer that I've had my own because their artwork is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But this is the freshest I've ever seen it. So I went ahead and picked it up. It's not bad. It's got a little roast to it. It's got a lot of hop character up at the front. At the end, it's got a little something weird that I don't terribly like, but it's not a terrible beer.
It's from something called the Loco Gringo series from Marshall.
I like it. I mean, it's got a nice foamy head. Seems to have nice lacing. I like the finish. Mm-hmm. I like dry. I like bitter. Okay. You know, I'm not a sweet fan, though I brew those beers sometimes. I like this.
For those of you who are not of the Mexican persuasion, El Cucuy is basically the Mexican version of the boogeyman.
Ah.
I grew up on the border in El Cucuy. I knew El Cucuy before I knew boogeyman.
For real? Like,
boogeyman, are we going to dance? What's going on? El Cucuy.
Is that a Michael Jackson song?
El Cucuy?
No, I think he says Cucuy. That's how he does it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a soundbite.
Shimon.
So I feel bad because we were just talking about music, but I'm going to go back to music. So this past weekend, we're going to go through my weekend. This is going to be awesome right here. Let me tell you. Caitlin left, and it was Jason by himself all weekend. Caitlin's my wife, for those of you. And I was like, oh, solo weekend. And Friday night, I know that you probably weren't a huge fan of Linkin Park, but Linkin Park, they streamed their concert live from L.A. It was like a farewell for Chester because Chester, oh, he let him. So it's so hard to think of a nice way to say that. He killed himself, yeah. Hung himself. Yeah. Very unfortunate. Me and Rhodey grew up on Linkin Park. David, sorry, I don't know why I left you out. I was just looking
I was
at
there.
Him.
I mean, I was in a different part.
But we grew up on those guys, and it was funny because – so I set an alarm to watch it. It said 9:30, and I was like, okay, set an alarm. I'm going to watch this. So I was watching Mindhunters on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
Yes. Awesome. Watched them all.
Freaking awesome.
Love that show.
Yes. So I'm watching that, and then my phone, the alarm goes off on my phone at 9:30. No, it didn't go off.
I find myself wanting to be friends with Ed Kemper. You're kind of weird.
The phone didn't go off until 11:30, and I was like, wait, what? And it was said Linkin Park was starting. I was like, holy shit, because they're in California. So it was 2 hour time difference. And I started watching it. And what it was Linkin Park brought out every friend and family member that they've ever had. They had different people coming out playing drums, playing guitar, singing. People were taking Chester's place. It was the most unified, beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, I got to go to bed. And I watched all 3.5 hours live on my phone.
Damn.
I didn't even send it to my TV. I just sat there with my arm like this and watched the entire concert. And it was, it was, and you were talking about the goosebumps. I do that all the time with Caitlin. We'll be listening to something. I'm like, look, look, look. Because she doesn't get it as much as I do. I'm like, check this out. Because we'll be listening to something. But they did Numb, one of their most famous songs.
Of course.
And the way they did it was the music started playing, and all they did was light up the stage where Chester would have been standing, and they let the crowd sing the entire song.
Wow.
It was, dude, it was that like, just oh, gave me goosebumps, is, man.
This was very, it was very intense, and it was crazy. And Mike, the other rapper, he's the rapper, other like singer. Shinoda. Yeah, he was like, he was having to lead the show, and it was weird because at first I was like, he's acting all weird and goofy, and, you know, I went on the chat, and I was talking with some people, and they were like, this is the first time he's ever had to do this in his entire life without Chester being there. I was like, oh, shit. So, but it was badass. It was awesome. I mean, we saw everybody from Korn, A Day to Remember, all Avenged Sevenfold. Alanis Morissette came out and did a song with him. I was like, this doesn't make sense. It was crazy.
It's that era of music. Like, yeah, they were all, you know, technically competing musicians and different styles and everything, but it's the culture of the 90s, the late 90s and early 2000s is when that – I remember the first time I listened to Linkin Park, I was on the way to a football game getting ready to play a halftime show with my trombone, and I jammed out to freaking Linkin Park.
So I've said it before. I used to tape MTV2. I would just put a tape in, put it on EP mode where it would get like 6 hours on one tape, and then I would come home and just watch that while I was doing my homework and stuff, and that's how I saw Linkin Park. I was like, whoa, who are these badass dudes?
Yeah.
But that's how I found everything pretty much. Anyways, I did that. On day two, I watched the Dana Carvey documentary. You guys like, anybody like Dana Carvey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From old Saturday Night Live and stuff. Well, apparently the Dana Carvey show was a thing 1996 or something like that. They only got 7 episodes done. And so I started watching it because of Matt Swansea. Shout out to you, Matt, Dick Buildings, guitar player. And I was like, I started watching. I was like, Steve Carell had a part of it. Oh, I've got to, hold on, let me pull this up real quick. This is crazy. So this was in 1996. Dana Carvey, Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, and then all the writers. Like, these writers are going to flip you out. I was like, are you kidding me? So the writers, Louis C.K., Dana Carvey, Stephen Colbert, Greg Daniels. I was like, holy crap, Charlie Kaufman.
Wow.
All of these famous-ass people were on this documentary. And then we got 7 episodes. It's like, if this was released now, it would be worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
It was just, it was intense. It was crazy. So I was watching that, and it was worth watching too.
Dana nice. Carvey, did he do the
church lady?
The church
yep, lady. Wayne's World, all and that stuff.
And that's devil did it.
But yeah, it was funny. He told a story about why he quit and left the business was because after the Dana Carvey show was canceled, he went home, and his son was like, I don't know how, I can't remember how old he was. It was younger than 10, and his son was like, Dad, I haven't seen you in 6 months. And he was like, and I quit Hollywood.
Nice.
I was like, wow. Yeah, he's like, I quit. And they moved out to the suburbs and raised his kids, and now he's on his comeback.
There you go.
Dude, good for him.
Empty nester.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's...
it's like Rick Moranis. Like, he did those Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And yeah, then I think something happened. Either his wife died or something like that. And he's like, no, I need to raise my kids. I'm completely out. And he was just coming off of Ghostbusters. That franchise was blowing up. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids had sequels already. And he was like, nope, family comes first. That's awesome.
And then I watched The House, which is terrible, by the way. Sad. That. Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell, you're like, oh, ooh. This is going to...
Nope. So you stayed in all Halloween
pretty
weekend.
Much. Yeah, pretty much. Well, I should have went out, but it's pretty much.
We had a badass Friday night.
Yeah, I know
and
you
Saturday
did.
Saturday night.
It was one of those no one wanted to go with me. I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here.
Well, I'm with you, though. Like, whenever my wife and family go out of town, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to go fucking apeshit. And then they leave, and I turn into, like, the worst possible version of myself. Like, super depressed. I stay in, and I just drink and sleep on the couch.
I guess I'm just going to watch This Is Us and drink all night.
Did you really? You really? I slept on the couch both nights, no shit.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I was like, I'm allowed. Too, and I was I did go see Saw by myself, which was awesome. I'm one of those weird people that can do that.
You're a better man than I am.
I went to see Saw and I went to CC's
off the couch.
I do.
Oh, you went to CC's?
Yeah, hell yeah.
High class.
My wife hates CC's, so whenever she leaves, I'm like, boop,
dude,
right
you
there.
Can get so much fucking pizza at CC's. Yeah.
Holy shit, that's disgusting.
Chris, was that real or was that a soundbite?
That was a soundbite.
Yeah. I know, but you are, you don't dude, drink, you don't.
It's all about those dessert pizzas at CC's, though. That's like, that's next level CC's.
Yeah, they tried the little stuffed crust crap they got going on there. No, sir.
No.
Not good.
Pizza Hut's the only stuffed crust that exists.
That spinach Alfredo is still number one all day, every day. Whew. So I put on about 47 pounds this weekend.
Perfect.
Nice.
Need to go jog. We can tell. I need to go jog right now.
Yeah, but how was Saw?
Saw I'm curious to know. Was freaking awesome.
It was
man.
Jigsaw, right?
Yep, Jigsaw was the name of the movie. And it was
it good?
Yeah, it was great. It was fine. It's just like all the rest of them.
Well, yeah.
It's like, what were you expecting?
It's like the other 14 Saw movies.
Were you expecting Benjamin Button where he ages backwards? Or were you expecting people to die in really strange ways? Although I felt bad because people are now saying that's torture porn or something like that. I'm like...
Nothing that is enjoyable can be enjoyed anymore.
No, it's called torture porn, and I apparently am really into that, apparently, by the standards of the internet.
So that's why there's all these leather straps everywhere. I was going to ask, but it's been 2 years.
Like, God damn, I don't remember where I posted Reddit or something. I was like, when saw the new Saw? And everybody's like, oh, you're into torture porn. I was like, oh. It's like, I hate the internet. It's like, no, I don't like torture porn. That's all that movie is. There's no value in it. Nothing. Just torture.
Yeah, see the 90s.
All the slasher movies. Yeah, so you guys had the big Halloween show this weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome. I mean, it's not. I mean, we had a band with a 7-foot singer,
dude.
7-foot singer
that dressed up like the entire cast, including some victims of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh dear!
And then performed Jesus and Mary Chain songs.
That was freaking crazy. Amanda and I went out, and my brother was in town helping us out. And we went to that. That was crazy. I thought that guy was on stilts.
So you were there?
Yeah, yeah, we were there.
It was fucking awesome, wasn't it?
Dude.
It was incredible.
Yeah, like they had like the whole outfit. Yes. They wheeled the grandfather out. One of them came screaming covered in blood like before the set started.
It's the bass player.
I was like, all right, it's Halloween. Yeah, man. And that guy was so freaking tall. He was legit 7 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember like at certain points like he was singing and everything and then he just like... nonchalant, touches the ceiling, no big deal. Elbows still bent, touches the ceiling, and then, like, keeps singing. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. When you're having the duck, you know, at a, I don't know, regular door. I mean, that one, he had the duck, but I mean, he was at the duck at the door going in and out.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then they were just freaking wailing, man.
They were wailing. It was a fun
awesome.
Night. It was a fun night. And then the next night, we had a band, 3-piece band, Professor Fuzz 63, who perform around Dallas-Fort Worth all the time. It's a family band. They're awesome. It's just kitschy indie stuff, kind of like Wall of Voodoo back in the 80s. But they performed in panda costumes. If you can go out and just look at my Instagram, it's hysterical.
Yeah, what's the Instagram?
Division Brewing.
Yeah, Division Brewing. You got to give everybody the name. Yeah, no. So y'all had the Tenacious D band play this weekend too, right?
Yes, and I had some, you know, I've got high schooler, I've got kids that are in high school, and I had parents with their kids there, and they're like going to some song about the sexual position.
Yep.
So I saw a couple parents walk out with their kids.
But
I don't care. I mean, they laughed at it.
Yeah.
But I was impressed with the fact that they just did it.
They did
it.
I'm going to fuck you.
It was as bad as you can imagine. It was awesome.
What's your favorite position?
I own every
Tenacious
D album.
That's with me. It's not my favorite,
but I'll do it for you.
Yes.
What's your favorite dish?
I'm not going to cook it, but I'll order it from Zanzibar.
And then I'll fucking fuck you discreetly.
Then it gets really weird.
Their genius is subtle. It definitely is.
Yes, these guys. And they're from it's from some guys from the band called Duel. And I don't know if they play around Dallas-Fort Worth. I think there's 3 guitars in the band. Badass guys. And so we're trying to get those guys to come and play at Growl as well. But... yeah, it was a fucking fun night.
Nice.
So, speaking about scary stuff, you got kind of a monster beer here. You want to talk
about
that one?
Let's talk about it.
Ooh. Oh, the Emperor Frankenfroth.
So this is the third version?
Well, okay, so I would like for people to consider Frankenfroth as Division's version of Cellarman's.
Okay.
So I do try to use whatever freshest hops available when I do that beer as far as the dry the hop back. And so this version actually bumped just the grain bill up a bit. And so we ended up with about 5% higher ABV over what we were. And normally this beer runs around 8.2, 8.3, maybe 8.6. And this one's like, I guess it's not that much more. It's like 9.4 or something like that. But 9.6. But I don't know. Pretty happy with it.
It's got I get a melon at the front of it. Is that right? Do you get melon off of it?
I mean, we're not intentionally trying to get melon, but when you're experimenting with different hops, I mean, you end up with what you end up. I think the reason I like this particular batch over some of the previous batches is that it's very light, you know, compared to some of the others that were thicker. I mean, if Frankenfroth, when you have it, it's going to be different every time.
It's fine.
By design. Grain bill's the same. Hops are going to be totally different. You know, and it's in it, just like Cellarman's. I mean, you know, it's an experiment every time.
Hold on, the expert beer pourer is doing his thing, which we don't care about your thing. No, it's delicious. I love it. I've had this one multiple times.
This is actually my first time having this because most of the time when I'm at Division,
so
I'm like
when the bathroom to throw up over there.
What? Yep, making room.
Puking rally. Duh.
That's just physics. No, but most of the time I go to Division, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have several beers. I need to start lighter.
Yep, never happens.
And then I'm like, all right, fine, give me the 9% double IP. Let's get this started. This is what's going to happen.
You don't do that with craft beer.
Excellent use of that soundbite. That was really, really good. It's almost like you're certified soundbiter.
I had wet dreams about that beer.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. Just to brew a beer like this, you know, the technique is the same. Dry hopping's the same. Everything you follow the same. You're just utilizing a different hop in the hop back, and that's 10 pounds of difference every time you brew it. And so it's a new experience for the brewer, because you know, cause this one, it was a new batch of hops I haven't used. And so
what were the hops that-
I missed it. What
there's Centennial hops, but which is a common hop, but this is the first of this harvest that I had used.
I love the Centennial hop.
Love it.
There, anything that is a single hop Centennial, anything or feature Centennial, ooh, that's my go-to. We have a version of our IPA that's all Centennial instead of the mix that we usually do. I freaking just love it. Floral, just the right amount of very subtle spice, good West Coast characteristics without getting too much towards the citrus and too much towards the pine. I love it.
Yeah, it's a regular. It's one of the, you know, we've looked at a lot of hops in our base hops. It's definitely one of the hops that we continue to stock every year.
Yeah, for a while, 80s and 90s Cascade was the workhorse, and for good reason. Cascade's a beautiful hop. It still is.
We do that one as well.
Yeah. But Centennial, man, when you need a little bit of finesse, Centennial can just, man, it's worth its weight in gold.
Centennial is worth its weight in gold.
I think Sean's looking forward to this beer.
I saw you had a little bit of trouble there, Mister.
You already drank the hump.
I figured most.
Brody, man, he is the instigator,
certified instigator,
bonafide.
Something fine.
Well, he's excited about the name Turtlehead.
Yeah, we're getting a little
the ABV.
We're a little beefy here.
I can't get over the fact that it's Turtlehead, and all I can think about is that I've got a Turtlehead popping out. It's a fat bastard.
We're drinking a 9%er.
And speaking of which,
we're going to 11%.
Turtlehead, you guys ready for the Division of Shit Show?
This is about where we have to go back to the recording to remember what happened.
It's where we just unleash. Go.
This is where the videos start picking up, and yeah.
It's where we start talking about things we shouldn't talk about.
All right, so let's...
I can't do it.
So what's the beer we're drinking?
He's passing on it.
So this is Stonecloud's Turtle Head. It's their stout, and it's 11%, so it's a little beefy.
Why did you open this?
Because we need to drink this.
Because you don't got
to... It'll get you drunk. If you will give me another glass.
Yeah, we'll get you another glass.
I will try this. But we can't drink that and drink that.
We will get you another glass, sir. Another glass. So we got this 11% Turtle Head Stout.
It smells fantastic.
That Jason doesn't want to share.
I don't want to drink it right now.
Yeah, what do you mean? All you got to do is go to sleep.
We kind of lightning round the last couple here.
Oh, it's so gonna, dark.
You going to work for me tomorrow? Yeah,
the
so coffee, I have to do that either?
The coffee on that's great.
David, what are you doing? You're taking it away from me.
No, you don't get any.
I thought you were going
to
shotgun
I thought you it. Got some while you were there.
I forgot to shotgun this whole thing. Damn it.
Come on, man.
What's that dude? Does he still shotgun the dude on the internet?
I haven't seen him in a while, but that's also because I've been purposely avoiding those threads for a while.
DFW, Let's Talk Texas Craft Beer. What is it?
Yeah, he's exclusive to the DFW, and his shtick is he's got his own accounts where he goes through shotguns a beer, no but then actually is. Does a review of it.
No matter what it
he's
is.
He's a fan of Jace Brewing, so, you know, take it easy.
That's true. Jace, we love you. Please don't do an espalier. Oh, my God.
There was nothing
so
bad.
Dangerous.
Yeah, we I imagine talking, he's not shotgunning Triscrania, so.
Well, he does actually taste it and give good tasting notes and everything in a review of the beer, but then he videos himself snorkeling the beer. Yeah. He goes scientific, puts a straw in it so that there's air intake as liquid's going out. He just freaking downs it. Sometimes it's a tall boy.
Okay, so I know Chase. I don't know Chase. I've witnessed all this on the internet. And I've thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it some more. And I want to say that he's not hurting anybody by doing what he's doing, and he's positive. And so thank you, Chase. Jace, thank you.
Yeah. That's true, because he came out, I think he did like his fourth or fifth video posted on DFW Let's Talk Craft Beer and be like, well, that's not how you drink craft beer. Like, everyone's like, oh, you're doing it wrong. This is bad. You're blah, blah, blah. You're giving everyone a bad name. Nothing he said was like, I didn't like it. It was always like, okay, yeah, I can totally get this. A lot of his notes after he shotguns are the aftertaste.
It was more,
as you can imagine.
It was more funny him buying rare-ass beers and then shotgunning.
That was the thing I think that pissed people off.
He did one. I don't remember the beer, but he was, you know, by a fireplace under like a bearskin rug, nude.
Oh, okay.
Was it Sam Adams Utopia?
I don't think.
Oh, no. You go to the hospital after that.
But yeah, he was a
it's personality.
As long as he's positive, and he is positive. And I've heard he's got a huge collection, so I think it's kind of a joke, kind of stick.
Yeah.
But sure. He does appreciate it, so it's cool.
Yeah. I've never met him, but I've seen a number of his
course.
Videos and read his reviews. At first blush, I was like, oh, what's this guy doing? Come on, man. You're not appreciating. But then I read his reviews and was like, oh, that's actually kind of nuanced. All right, fine.
Both of those
do what you do.
Both of those groups, Texas Let's Talk Craft Beer and Dallas Let's Talk Craft Beer. I mean, we've had a little bit of a thing in there, but I mean, I still read it because I'm into beer.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know. Sorry about that, Chris. I want to know, you know, what's going on. And but I'm not likely to post because, you know, there's a couple people in there that with one visit had decided that we're not a good brewery, and it's like, and they're actually prolific posters.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I don't want to even do anything. Have anything to do with you, basically. So, you know,
and that's something that's come up. We had Crystal on the show a couple episodes ago, and we were talking about people who come onto sites like that. It's a group, it's a forum, it's meant to be a place where people come express their opinions, and then they can debate it in the comments, and that's totally fine. But you get people in there that are like, this is what I think, this is why everyone should think it. My opinion counts more than yours. And if you don't like them, then you're stupid and not, you don't know.
A lot of times they're not even giving that. They're just saying blank sucks.
Right.
They're not, there's no, this is the reason why they suck. In fact, I think Texas Livestock Craft Beer, you know, in applause to them, they actually made a post to say, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, don't just come out and say, X sucks. You need to be articulate enough to say, this is why I didn't like them, and right. this is why, you know, I wouldn't, you know, advise you go to their brewery. You know,
right.
let's hear that.
Because
articulate it.
Because I don't like
beer. If you're so fucking smart, you should be able to say it. What do you didn't like?
Yeah, there's a really funny Flight of the Conchords, a group out of New Zealand. They have a bit where they were like, oh, you suck. And it's like, why? Tell me why. Be more descriptive with your criticism. And they're like, they do this whole musical number about, like, don't just say something sucks. Explain yourself. Express an opinion. Defend it.
And how can you say, I mean, even if you, I don't know, I'm just saying our brewery, and I'm being defensive now, but
it's fine.
You know, you come visit our brewery once, you know, a year ago, and you say, oh, they suck. You know, that's
when you only tried one or two.
Right. Yeah, it's so ridiculous, but it's the fact that these people are so gregarious on the on these forums just to say, you know, I don't know how many fans they have, just to say in general, you know, from one visit they suck, you know, just suck. Them off.
Yeah,
you well, suck.
I mean, it's different because what you talked about, it's different from going from a homebrew system into a professional system, and I think Chris said it best. Like, I don't judge breweries based upon the first 6 months because they're still getting used to their system and what they're putting out. It's going to be different. Like, they're going to hone in what they're doing and it's going to be better. Just to go there and tell everybody that a place sucks right as they open is kind of irresponsible because it's not like you're cooking. Like, when you cook, all the shit's the same. You can cook wherever you want. If you have a frying pan, it's going to be the same frying pan that you have at a restaurant that you can have at your house. Not the same with brewing. You're going to have a completely different system, and I just think it's completely responsible.
Most brewers are quadrupling the size. Well, that's probably an understatement. You're probably – I don't even know what word is above quadrupling, but you're
– quintupling.
You're going from making, like, you know, tiny little Ozarka bottle batches to, holy crap, we're about to make – huge-ass batches.
Well, 500 gallons. I wonder, in reading the whole thing and trying to get a scope of really what these people's intentions are, what I see is people who, you know, are either profiting or somehow, you know, and I think it goes back to profiting. They're promoting something that's maybe out of state, something rare, something they don't think – they want to provide the illusion you can't get it here, you know. And so there's this whole – I didn't want to get into the whole bottles, the whole collecting, the whole can, the, you know, the sharing, the, you know, the black market on beer, because there's a whole side to that.
Yeah.
And people are trying to promote that, shills, if you would call them, to, you know, color, you know, what you read.
I equated a lot of that. So the Nintendo Wii – this sounds crazy. The Nintendo Wii, the original model, they released like 30 of them to build up the hype, and then 20, 30, and that's the way they did it. You're talking about, like, it's false rarity. It's like, oh, it's rare, but it's not really rare. It's just to build up the hype, and a lot of brewers are doing that. They're like, here's limited bottles, and I hate when you walk into a store and they're like, limit, you can only have one, and it just puts out this facade. It's like, this isn't even true. And I go over here to Whole Foods in Arlington, and then I can get as many as I want of that same bottle that's limited at specs.
Well, it's like we talked about Grapevine and how they've kind of dabbled in canning and come back out and then canned again and then came back out. And it's amazing how people go in and be like, yeah, Grapevine sucks. It's like, no, their beer's pretty good.
Yeah, that double IPA spot.
I
like it.
It's like, I don't know what you're trying or tasting, but if it's bad, it's probably old.
Yeah,
and that's your fault.
Brown ale. I don't know.
Oh yeah, Sir Williams.
Yeah, Sir Williams, a really good beer.
It's won awards. Yeah. It's won national awards.
And I will stand by this. They have one of the top 10 tap rooms in DFW.
Dude, that I agree.
That outside patio.
And that may be part of the problem. I mean, I want to say that. I mean, when you go to open a brewery, I mean, you've got to cover the bottom line. You know, you've got to cover that. And if your rent is too much, you know, that affects you.
I mean, right.
If your rent is so much money, you can't pull that back in.
Word.
Believe
you're
just, me.
You're stabbing knives at David.
That I'll always be here for you, buddy.
I hurt so
and
hard.
And on that note, oh my God, we have a lot of stuff coming up. It's a holiday season. We're going to do a Thanksgiving skit, apparently, featuring Penny
Boozo
the Trucking Clown, apparently. We've got Christmas stuff coming up. We've got guests coming up. We're bringing, I don't even know how to, a rugby player on the show.
Old Dirk. Yes. Can I get those videos? Do you still have them?
Yes.
I would love to play those on the show and show it to them.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got.
I can get those guys on the show for you. That'd be an awesome show.
Yes, it would be. We have him coming on the 19th of December.
Yes, we've got him coming 19th. I think it's like the 9th.
9th, sorry.
It's like you're scaring
so
me.
So hopefully
like, getting too close to
it's
Christmas.
After a match, so hopefully he's unscathed.
Either that or like his arm will be hanging by a tendon. He'll have like no teeth.
Before we go,
as rugby goes.
Wade, Sean, who y'all want to tell us where to find you and all that fun stuff?
Division Brewing, 506 East Main Street, Arlington, Texas.
Facebook.
We're not the closest to the Cowboys, but we're the second closest.
Yeah, you're the closest. You're door the best. Can I say that? Am it's I allowed to say that? You're the best closest to the Cowboys.
When you drive by, I mean, it's just a little metal building. Just know that. It's not a huge facility.
But it sure does have a pretty sign on the side of it.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Especially at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Instagram, everything, Division Brewing. Nothing close to that. You'll find it. Division Brewing, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Twitter?
You guys are on Twitter?
I have a Twitter. Yeah. You like my Twitter sometimes.
I do.
And I like yours.
Twitter.
We gel like that.
When I go onto Twitter, I get nervous because Twitter is a hate-filled, terrible environment.
It can be either completely just great positive, everyone's having a good time, or woo, that's enough internet for today.
Yep, I'm just glad I'm not Kevin Spacey. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Nobody likes you, Kevin Spacey. Nobody likes you. Don't forget to check out our brothers, sisters, lovers on Controllers and Keyboards. We love those guys.
Yeah, they just reviewed Assassin's Creed, just came out. They've got a killer review on that.
I was right. I fucking told you guys.
Y'all
were all wrong. Everybody was wrong but me.
You nailed it.
Yeah, if you love Wolfenstein, that's coming up next.
Next!
That's right.
All right.
Say, shoot them an email. Tell them, hey, Casual Lit sent me, but
give them some questions, too. They do a feature where anything you email them a question, they'll answer it on air. They'll go around the table. Everyone give their own answer.
Yes, they do. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Sean and Wade.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's been beautiful. We've had a good night.
Thank you.
It's been a Division show.
Yeah. Let's have a good night, everybody. We will see you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.